Welcome to the Life Podcast. We're so glad that you are joining us for another hope-filled message. And our prayer is that you are encouraged by this powerful Sunday sermon.
You know, we're in this season as a church to follow the one, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, to know the one. And at every location, we've come together so that we can know Jesus better. And there are ways we're familiar with that help us to know Jesus better, to follow him better. But this morning, through his word, I think the Lord wants to unpack for us a way we normally don't think about, that we can really know him better. It comes for us in a prayer that Paul wrote for all of us in Ephesians 1:17, and here's what he wrote. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. That wisdom is an avenue of knowing Jesus and following Jesus. And there are many of you at all of the locations, and you are facing really important, significant life decisions, and you need wisdom. But this morning, the Lord wants to teach us that wisdom is not just a principle or a precept. It actually comes to us in the person of Jesus Christ. And as much as in a service like this or at the other locations, we have this kind of supernatural moment of presence, this week in your lounge room, while you are seeking wisdom for that decision, Jesus wants to be supernaturally present for you. Paul explained it this way in 1 Corinthians 1. He said, you are in Christ Jesus, who has become for us wisdom from God. That it's not just he just gives you the answer, he gives you himself. So for these next few minutes, as we look at the word, I'm encouraging you, open your heart, open your mind. And as he teaches us about how does wisdom allow me to have a divine encounter with God, a divine encounter with Jesus, and then make those decisions that lead me into that abundant life he has for me. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for each person who is watching online, for each person at every location. Hear our heart, Jesus. We want to know you. We want to follow you. We want to share you. So Spirit of God, would you teach us from your word how to embrace wisdom, not just as an answer to a question, but as a way to encounter you in a supernatural way. We pray this in the name of Christ. Amen. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Thanks, team. James was a pastor in the New Testament, and when he looked at his congregation, inspired by the Spirit of God, he wanted to teach them about wisdom and how critical it was, not just for their decision-making, but for their actual relationship with the One. And so he wrote in his book a passage that gives us an insight into what wisdom really is, not defined by society, but Christ, how it works that lets us encounter Jesus, and then how you get it. So open your Bibles to James chapter 3, and we're gonna look at this paragraph that he wrote and allow the Spirit of God to teach us and lead us kind of into a new dimension of understanding on wisdom. James chapter 3, starting in verse 13. Here's what James writes. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let them show it by their good life, by deeds done in humility that comes from wisdom. But if you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast about it or deny the truth. Such wisdom does not come down from heaven, but is earthly, unspiritual, demonic. For where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you find disorder and every evil practice. But the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere, peacemakers who sow in peace reap a harvest of righteousness. We all know that the definition of wisdom is having a knowledge and being able to live that out. You live out and you make good decisions and you make them with the maturity, and out of that comes the blessings and the abundance of God. But James actually adds a layer onto it. He teaches us wisdom is not just about making good decisions for your life. Inherently, wisdom is relational. This entire paragraph is full about the relationships that every choice you make, every significant decision you make affects people's lives. It can affect it positively or it can affect it negatively. Some of us have experienced bad decisions made by others and the impact it has on us. Because when James says in verse 13, who is wise and understanding among you? Let it show up by their good life. That word good isn't necessarily a word that means doing well. It literally means beautiful. Out of a relationship with others. That when you have this wisdom, there is a beauty you carry into your relationships with others, and that allows you to really walk in the abundance of God. But James will teach us that wisdom is relational, not just horizontally. Wisdom is relational vertically. That's why he says in verse 15, listen, if wisdom is earthly or unspiritual, you're never gonna tap into the revelation of Jesus. You're never gonna have that encounter in your lounge room. When he says earthly, it literally means temporarily. If all of your searching for wisdom is God, help me make my life better for these 60 years, and it's only temporary. If as parents, you are trying to give your child wisdom about their vocational career, but it's only temporary. If there's no eternity factored into your wisdom, you will never crack into that divine encounter with Jesus. Because everything we do on this earth today, about our money, about our relationships, about our time, it all affects eternity. We live with an eternal perspective. And James says, listen, the wisdom that God has for you, the encounter that Jesus wants to have with you in giving you himself as God's wisdom has to have this eternal dimension to it. He says it's not at all earthly. He says it's not even unspiritual. Unspiritual means there's no God factor. Solomon would write in Proverbs that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And James is saying, listen, do not think wisdom is just about getting a lot of good intelligence and making good decisions. There is something supernatural in wisdom where God divinely will invade your life in the person of Jesus Christ. And the revelation you get will help you make really good choices, but it'll be more than that. You will get a revelation of who Jesus is in your life because you discover the more wisdom you get, the more you discover it's not you in control. It is the Lord in control through you. Wisdom is actually supernatural. And in your lounge room this week, Jesus wants to have a divine encounter with you. And it's not necessarily because you put worship music on. It's because when you have this looming question and you need the wisdom from God, you're not just asking for direction. You're actually asking for a revelation of Jesus in your life. So James says, listen, don't just make it earthly. Don't just make it about this life. Don't make it unspiritual. Have that supernatural dimension to it. Because if you don't, what it ends up is he uses this intense word of, it becomes demonic. Now, all he's saying is what was illustrated by Jesus when Jesus told Peter, Satan, get out of my way. You are an obstacle to the plan that God has for me. God has an amazing plan for you. And that looming decision, the one you have struggled over, the one you have had sleepless nights over, the one where there's still some fog, God has an amazing plan for you. And in giving you the wisdom, he actually wants to give you an encounter with Jesus Christ. Wisdom inherently is supernaturally relational. And if you've never seen it that way, God says, I want to open up a dimension of myself to you through the avenue of wisdom. And then James says, let me tell you how it works. Let me tell you how wisdom can actually tap you into Jesus and who he is so you are following the one and sharing the one. And he gives for us these seven words. And each of these words, inspired by the Holy Spirit, by James, gives us an insight, and we kind of use it as a test, as an assessment. Am I in a position where really I have this expectation of wisdom from Jesus because it matches these seven words? The first word he uses is pure. You ever notice in your life sometimes that decisions get foggy? It's hard to know what to do and what not to do? And James says, if your heart is pure, if you're in a place where here's your prayer, God, what decision will bring you glory? What choice will bring you glory? The intent of your heart becomes pure. It's not about me. It's not about what I can do to get ahead. I just want to bring you glory. The moment you position your heart in that place, you will put yourself in your lounge room in a place for a divine encounter with God, because it is pure. And there's a purity that comes from it, and the fog disappears and the Holy Spirit speaks to you clearly. He uses a second word, peace-loving. He says, wisdom from heaven has this trait to it. Peace-loving describes Jesus. He is the reconciler. He prioritizes unity. He doesn't want any separation from us to him. He doesn't want separation in our families. He doesn't want separation in our marriages. He doesn't want separation in our neighborhoods. He wants this peace-loving unity. And James, as a pastor, says, when you put yourself in a place where your agenda matches Jesus's agenda, all of a sudden now you open up the windows of heaven for a revelation of Christ. Some of you here are parents and you're asking for wisdom from the Lord, how to parent your kids. But if your objective is just, how do I change their behavior? How do I get them to perform a little bit better? How do I get my idiot 12-year-old boy? If your objective is, how do I create my family as a unit? How do I bring unity between the generations? How are we together as one? James says, when your pursuit of wisdom matches the heart of Jesus, you will get a revelation of who he is in such a powerful way. He uses a third word, considerate. This word literally means the ability to discern the other people and to have empathy for those people. One of the most amazing things about being a Christ follower is we have the creator of the world who gets us. We go through a hardship sometimes and we go, nobody gets me. Nobody really understands me. Nobody can understand what I'm going through. And then we discover in Jesus, he gets me. He understands my difficulty. He understands my questions. And James, as the pastor, says, listen, when your pursuit of wisdom is in a place where you want to get the other person, where you want to understand them even before being understood, when you want to have this discernment and this empathy, you will position yourself for such a revelation for Jesus, because that's who he is working through you. When I pastored my own church, one of the things pastors are supposed to do is marriage counseling. I was horrible at marriage counseling. I didn't want to do it. They would come in and I just go, oh, please leave. They would tell me their problems, like, go, I don't want it. But pastors are supposed to do marriage counseling. So I would do marriage counseling. And a married couple would come in and they'd sit down and I just know, oh, this is gonna be hell. They're gonna tell me all their problems. But I would listen to them. And here's what I discovered. I could easily tell you the marriages that would be able to work through their difficulties and find life and love together, and the marriages that may really struggle at being able to do that. It was one factor. So when the husband and wife sat there, if they had the desire and the ability to discern and understand what the other spouse was going through, or if they were so preoccupied in their own pain and their own hurt that all they could do was think about themselves, the ones that were only preoccupied with themselves could never get a revelation of Jesus. But the ones that tried to understand the other person opened up so they could get this revelation of Jesus. James says, listen, you want a divine encounter in your lounge room? All wisdom is relational. And when you position yourself to say, God, help me understand this person. Help me to get them the way you get them. You will position yourself to have a divine encounter with the one and have wisdom come through you so you know what to say and how to say it. And unity comes in. He uses this other word. The fourth word is submissive. This literally means that when you are seeking God's wisdom, your objective is to serve, not to win. Jesus came to serve and not to be served. And if wisdom is wisdom is relational, a lot of times we're trying to get good ideas as to how we can get ahead of the game. And James says, no, it doesn't work that way. You'll never have a divine encounter if you remove yourself from the very identity of Jesus, who came to serve and not be served. But when you say, how can I serve these people, whether it's my spouse or my kids or in my small group, how can I serve these people? All of a sudden, I am aligned with Jesus. And when I align with Jesus, he speaks to me. And here's what I've discovered. When it comes to the wisdom of God in relationships, when you put others first, when you serve others, you both win. When you put yourself first, nobody wins. And there is a divine encounter waiting for you. But you got to position yourself in heart and in mind to be aligned, as James is teaching us, so that wisdom is a revelation of Jesus in your life. He uses this other word, full of mercy. Do you know what that means? Oftentimes, I've discovered in life, when I have to make significant decisions, people can be paralyzed by that. Christians can be paralyzed. Because you're thinking to yourself, I don't want to miss God. What do I do? Sometimes people will come to me, believers will come to me, and they'll say, I feel like this, but what if it's just me? What if it's not really God? And there are many times in life when we need the wisdom of God, because he doesn't come down with a golden iPad and tell us what to do. He says, I've given you wisdom, but in order to walk in that wisdom, you have to understand that at the heart of it is an identity that I have the grace of Jesus Christ in me. It is full of mercy. And my identity in Jesus brings with it enormous freedom, so I don't have to be paralyzed by the fear of making a wrong decision. God is not up there with a lightning bolt waiting to throw it down on you should you make the wrong decision. There is a mercy and a grace inside of you and a freedom to make decisions knowing that you are free in him, your identity is in him. I was in Egypt a little while back and I was speaking to a large group of pastors. And between the sessions, an Egyptian missionary, who's actually a missionary in Qatar, which is a very dangerous place to be a Christian missionary, he came to me and he asked if he could talk to me. And through a translator, here's what he said. He said, Pastor Joel, he said, my wife, we have a daughter, we're missionaries in Qatar. And because of our work, there has been a bounty put on our head for our death. Serious, serious stuff. He said, I know that I can be a pastor in Egypt where it's safe for my family, and I can have a very productive, fruitful work for God. But I also know that people die for their faith. So I'm willing to go back to Qatar and to be able to work there. And then he looks at me and he goes, Pastor Joel, should I go to Qatar? Should I stay in Egypt? What should I do, Pastor Joel? And I'm going, And I remember I had a prayer silently in that moment. I said, Lord, give me something to say to him that is not just kind of beating around the bush. Give me something to say to him. And the Spirit of God dropped a truth in my heart that so has shaped me in decision-making with the wisdom of the Lord. I looked at this Egyptian missionary and I said, you have a choice. You can stay in Egypt as a pastor, or you can go back to Qatar as a missionary. God has not come down with a golden iPad and told you what to do, and now you need to obey. He's looking to you. And I said, go to Qatar, stay in Egypt. And I looked at him and I said, there is no wrong answer. If you go to Qatar, God will go with you. If you stay in Egypt, God will be with you. If God does not come down with a golden iPad and tell us what to do, he says, listen, I'm giving you wisdom. Because wisdom is full of mercy. And I know my identity in Jesus. And there is a liberty, even a joy, to make decisions, knowing that God's going to be with me in those decisions. Some of you are here right now in all the locations, and you're facing a major decision. But you're hesitant to make that decision because out of the goodness of your heart, you don't want to screw up for God. And God is saying, no, I love you. I've chosen you. I've given you freedom. When I come down with a golden iPad, yes, do that. But if I don't give you the golden iPad, know that I will be with you in whatever decision you make. And all of a sudden, there is this pipeline to Jesus and his revelation of grace and freedom in your life that you can move forward with that. He uses this other word. There is good fruit. Think of the fruit, patience, peace, kindness. What James is saying is this: wisdom is more than knowledge applied. Wisdom is the identity of Christ in you. So that as you gain this revelation of the One, and you begin to live it out in your family, in your marriage, in your workplace, people literally sense Jesus in you because you've had this divine encounter in the lounge room, and you know the wisdom that is coming in the form of Jesus, and there is this sense of, wow, it's actually who I am. Wisdom is not just what I know. It's not just these principles. It's actually who I am becoming as I follow the One and as I share the One. And there's a transformation of my identity so that I can walk in this wisdom of God. If we're honest, some of the prayers we have are prayers that we have for divine intervention because we didn't walk in the wisdom of God when we were making decisions. And we make decisions that are outside of the wisdom of God, and then we need a financial miracle. And James is saying, listen, God is a supernatural God, and he will give you miracles. And some of that supernatural intervention, he will give you before, in the form of Christ in wisdom. And those decisions you have to make come through this kind of encounter. He ends it by saying, listen, it's impartial, it's sincere. It really means you are self-aware. You know that you need his wisdom. You know that what you need to navigate in life is beyond your control, beyond your natural ability, but it's not just the wisdom you need, it's the person behind the wisdom, and you have this security in Christ. The wisest people I know are the people who say, I'm the dumbest. Because they're in a position to receive more. They're in a position to say, God, give me more of your revelation. Show me more of who you are. Because the one thing that will stop you from growing in wisdom is pride. Because you will have arrived. Have you noticed everybody has an opinion about everything? I am waiting for somebody on Instagram to post, I just don't have enough knowledge to have an opinion about this. That person I'll follow. James says, listen, you want this divine encounter in your lounge room in the form of wisdom? It's going to come when you position yourself by these kind of attributes and you become this learner and the heart is pure saying, God, I want to glorify you. I want your peace-loving end goal. I want to understand these people. And Jesus begins to reveal himself to you in a powerful way. Because we look at, okay, wisdom's relational. And it's not just about these principles, but it's actually about an encounter with Jesus in the form of wisdom. He has become wisdom for us. And these traits show how it works. And the final question we all have is, how do I get this wisdom? How can I actually acquire it? James would say earlier in his letter, if you want wisdom, just ask God. He will give it abundantly. And he's not just referring to answers, he's actually referring to a revelation of himself. It's not just about a podcast where you get a bunch of information. It's about the person of Jesus Christ. How do I get this? James actually answers us that question in James chapter 3, because in verse 17, he says this, wisdom comes down from heaven. We do not go up a mountaintop to try to find a guru, but it literally comes down from heaven. He's referring to the One, Jesus Christ, that he comes down into my life. And when I have an encounter with him, in that encounter comes all this wisdom. The verse we read at the beginning of this message, 1 Corinthians 1:30, you are in Christ Jesus, who has become for us wisdom from God. Wisdom is not just about learning from your mistakes. It is about a supernatural encounter with Jesus. That's why any age can have wisdom. You don't have to wait till you're 60. Because as a 24-year-old, you can have this divine encounter for wisdom and you can begin to glean and get that kind of wisdom. You go, how does that work? What does that look like to have an encounter with Jesus that gives me a wisdom for life? Let me give you an illustration that applies to all of us. All of us at some point will get hurt by somebody. And usually the people that hurt us are the people that are closest to us. They speak against us. They say something, they do something that shocks us, and there's a hurt that there. And at that moment of hurt, as a Christ follower, you need wisdom of forgiveness. How do I make a healthy, wise, godly decision around forgiveness so that bitterness will not torment me, so that I can be a vessel of Jesus for reconciliation? What does that look like? I need wisdom of forgiveness. And that's where we go to Jesus. And Jesus models for us the wisdom of forgiveness, which is very different from society. So Jesus says, I'm gonna show you the wisdom of forgiveness, but more than that, I'm gonna have you experience it with me. And when you experience it with me, then you will have that divine encounter, so then you can experience it with others. You'll have a horizontal relationship of wisdom that allows you to have this vertical relationship. So Jesus, here's what wisdom is in the kingdom of God. Very different from society. First, Jesus initiates forgiveness. He doesn't wait for us to come to him and say, we're really sorry. He came down while we were yet sinners. Society will tell you, you can forgive, but wait till they come to you really contrite. Don't waste your forgiveness. Jesus says, no, I initiated. He came down to forgive us. We killed him. Didn't matter. Forgiveness that is from heaven says, I'm going to take the initiative here. And whatever capacity and opportunity you have, I'm going to initiate reconciliation. But he didn't stop there. Then Jesus paid the price for forgiveness, because there's always a cost with forgiveness. When you get hurt, if you run your car into my car, there's a cost to fix the car. When you hurt me and my soul is wounded and I go to bed at night thinking about that pain, there's a cost. Jesus says, you know that cost? I'll pay it. And he died on the cross for our sins. He was willing to pay that. So he says, here's the wisdom for forgiveness. You've got to now pay that price. Society will say, when they come to you and they make amends, then you can forgive them. But the wisdom of forgiveness in the kingdom of God is much different. Then he goes one more step. It's not just that he initiated forgiveness. It's not just that he paid the price for forgiveness. It's that he says, I'm doing this so we can be closer. So there can be a greater intimacy between us. Society will say, you can forgive, but never forget. And Jesus says, no. That's not the wisdom of the kingdom of God. You want to walk in a liberty? You want to walk in an abundant life? You want to walk in a joy and a peace? You want to walk as a vehicle of the one to share the one with others? Then I need this kind of kingdom forgiveness wisdom. But I will never, ever be able to live it out until I encounter Jesus with it. When I encounter the Lord and I realize, you know what? He initiated it with me every day. He paid the price for me. Even if I have a bad week where I stumble, he still wants intimacy with me. When I have that divine encounter in my lounge room with Jesus, who has become God's wisdom for us, all of a sudden that wisdom, it's not just a principle, it's reality. It changes who I am, and now I can live that out with people who have hurt me. What James is teaching us is this. Wisdom is a critical, important, essential avenue to following the one, to sharing the one. Because it's not just about right answers. It's actually about a divine encounter. Some of you are facing the decision around finances, and you need kingdom wisdom. And the starting point of that is discovering Jesus as an amazing provider, discovering the generosity of Jesus in your life. And as you have that divine encounter, all of a sudden now you gain a wisdom how to live it out in your life. Some of you have been hurt. And you need wisdom how to navigate that. And it begins with a divine encounter of a comforter who will bring you comfort in such a supernatural way, but packaged in that encounter is wisdom to be able to live it out. Too often, we have only seen wisdom as how I navigate life. Paul says, I pray that you will have the spirit of wisdom. So you will know Jesus better. There is waiting for you this week in your lounge room, a divine encounter wrapped around that issue you've got to make a decision about. And Jesus will show himself. Solomon wrote it so profoundly when he wrote this in Proverbs chapter 4. He says, "Do not forsake wisdom, and she will protect you. Love her, and she will watch over you. Cherish her, and she will exalt you. Embrace her, and she will honor you. She will give you a garland to grace your head and present you with a glorious crown." This week, can you believe that? This week in your lounge room, God wants to put a crown on you. Jesus, a revelation of who he is. And here's how I want us at every location to respond to this truth. I'm gonna ask all of you to stand at every location, and I'm gonna pray over you, but here's how we're gonna do this. I want you to stand. The worship team's gonna come up here. And at every location, what I want you to do is I want you to think about that area where you really need some wisdom. Some of you are facing really serious, life-changing decisions. For some of you, it's in the area of parenting, and you're going, "I really need wisdom with my teenagers." For some of you, it's in the area of finances. For some of you, it may be the wisdom of forgiveness. And part of James's message to us is don't leave Jesus out of any area. Don't just get an answer, but get the person. So what I'd like you to do is just close your eyes in every location. If you want to lift your hands as this act of submission to the Lord, and I want you to think about that area right now, and I'm going to pray a prayer over all of us at every location that God will give us wisdom. James says, just ask of him. But it's more than just an answer to your question. It's actually a revelation of Jesus. That heaven will open up and you'll discover a part, a dimension of the one, Jesus Christ, the Son of God. He is God's wisdom for us. So think about that area right now, whatever it is. And I want you to just lift that to him in an act of surrender where you say, "Lord, I don't know what to do here. I need your wisdom. What will glorify you? What will bring unity and peace in my family? I need wisdom, Lord God. I need your leading." Jesus, you know every person in every location, those watching online. You know these areas of our life. And in this moment, Jesus, we invite you into every single area. We thank you that you want to have a divine encounter with us in our lounge room. And that when you give us wisdom, you give us yourself. And I pray, Lord, that for each person here, in whatever area that they need wisdom, that in the next week or two to come, they would get a revelation of who you are. That for those who need financial wisdom, you would show yourself as this generous provider. For those who need the wisdom of grace and forgiveness, they would discover your mercy and your grace in such a powerful way. For those who have been hurt and they need wisdom around how to navigate that, they would discover you as a comforter and as a counselor, Lord Jesus. We lift this area of our life to you. And we ask for wisdom. In the form of you, Jesus, be God's wisdom, that we would have a supernatural encounter with you and we would know you and follow you and share you as we live in your abundance and your goodness, walking in your wisdom. We pray this in the precious and powerful name of Jesus Christ. And we pray, amen and amen and amen.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. I trust you're encouraged by this incredibly powerful word. You know, you've always got a place to call home here at Life, and I want to encourage you to join us in one of our campuses in Auckland or Tauranga, or why don't you join us at church online? To find out more about life and to stay connected with us, why don't you visit lifenz.org.